All right. This morning, we are so fortunate to be joined in the studio by Jenny Yanez. You might have heard her on her radio show, NOLA Matters, Islam in the Crescent City, and it airs on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on WHIV. She serves as the director of the Introduction to Islam, Islam 101 program at the Jefferson Muslim Association. She's a member of Equity New Orleans for the City of New Orleans, and she is an active community organizer and speaker. She helped to plan the No Muslim Ban rally and march, and was a speaker at the Women's March. She has nearly 20 years of working with Muslim Students Association, local mosques, Islamic schools, and other faith-based groups in this area. Her list of experience goes on and on, so I'm going to let her speak a little bit more about herself and her work. Last night, Jenny spoke on the panel of Fourth Wave Feminism, Building an Intersectional, Intergenerational, and Inclusive Movement. And thanks so much, Jenny, for joining us here today in the studio.
Oh, thank you, Maggie, for having me. I really appreciate being here.
Yeah, so we have so much to talk about. I know we briefly discussed a little bit beforehand, but I want to talk about what's going on in New Orleans, specifically around Islam and Islam communities.
Okay, so there's a lot going on in terms of events and also interest in learning about Muslims. So our religion, our deen, just for a quick clarification,
yeah, absolutely.
And also to build awareness. So Islam is our faith, our religion, also our way of life. The word Islam itself means submission to Allah, or As-Salam is one of the attributes of Allah, which is one of God's proper names. So Islam is peace through submission to God. So a follower of Islam would be called the Muslim. And then sometimes you will hear us say Assalamu Alaikum many times, which means peace be upon you. So we don't speak Arabic. We don't all speak Arabic. For example, I'm, you know, Latina and I'm American. But there are some words from our faith that, you know, come from the Arabic because that is the original language of the Quran. So Islam is our faith, but we would say Muslim community or to learn about Islam. So that's just to build a little bit of awareness. So we have, and thank you for that lovely introduction.
Yes.
And I'm really humbled by that. I can't even believe so many years have gone by. The Introduction to Islam, Islam 101 class, began as a way to help new Muslims understand the faith. Because becoming Muslim or accepting Islam, there's no real ritual. It just means you have to agree that there's only one God and that Prophet Muhammad is the final messenger. But we also have to believe in all the prophets from Adam, including Abraham and Moses and Jesus and Noah and the prophets of old. So we have to believe in them as prophets, but we don't worship any prophet, just God. So once someone has a basic understanding of the faith and they are ready to take shahada, or it means to give witness that they are Muslim, then that's it. There's no ritual, there's no classes you have to take, there's no ceremony. So we found that a lot of new Muslims were coming to the mosque and asking for help in learning Islam and meeting other Muslims. And we developed this class with that in mind. But over time and through events that had happened in the last 3 years, there was a lot of interest in learning about Islam from Muslims. So the majority of people who take the course are actually non-Muslims now. The course is exactly the same as it was designed for Muslims to take it because the information is the same. So it's not like we teach Islam one way to Muslims and another way to non-Muslims. So the classes are usually mixed, new Muslims, non-Muslims, people who are born and raised in Islam but either want a refresher course or they were raised in Islam in a home but they never actually, you know, learn the basics of their faith. So we find that that combination allows for conversation and getting to know each other. So that's one of the things that's going on in our community that's been recurring. It wasn't reactionary to the elections. I have to say that a lot of things that are going on in the Muslim community right now are reactions to the elections in terms of feeling safe, in terms of finding legal advice, if you're an immigrant, if your family lives abroad and they want to visit you, if you are a documented immigrant and you want to travel and there's that fear because of the travel ban. So there's a lot of questions. And also we found that there's a lot of solidarity in the non-Muslim community much more so than before the election. And we feel it and we're grateful. And we receive flowers at our mosque and Abu Bakr Mosque. We receive flowers and letters. We've had several interfaith meetings and gatherings. We had a multi-faith solidarity event in about a month ago, a little bit over a month ago. And the East Jefferson Interfaith Clergy Association, of which Masjid Abu Bakr Mosque, is a part of, they came out and they told their congregations to come out. So we're involved in interfaith work. We visit other churches. The East Jefferson Interfaith Clergy Association started a while ago, over the course of 9 months, to visit each other's houses of worship. Cool. And that's called Faith of Our Neighbors. So we encourage our community to be a part of that and reach out. And there's a lot of other ways that we're involved in. Again, like I said, as a reaction to the election, right after the Muslim ban was signed in the end of January, not even 10 days after inauguration, we saw people all over the country come out into the airports. We saw it in JFK, we saw it in Dallas. And so with the help of a local major organizing group, Our Revolution, and a new sister, a new Muslim sister, Nancy Holgrave, and I, and the help of a lot of people, including Bill Quigley, and there was a lot of people involved really in organizations that immediately stepped up and said, we're going to show up for you. Not me, for Muslims. but we saw that in 16 hours, we got together a rally and a march, and there was about 1,000 people. Because we couldn't wait, we had to show up. The rest of the country, many places, were out on, you know, the airports, and they were on the streets, just to remind people that not everyone agrees with this. And for some Muslims, they were shocked. They were surprised to see that so many non-Muslims cared.
Right, that solidarity was there.
Yeah. And that kind of shows you several things. For one thing, maybe they didn't feel it before, and why? Maybe people now are realizing that we're very vulnerable. But not just that we are vulnerable, but if we don't have our rights to practice our faith freely, then who's next?
Right.
So the other aspect of that is that if some Muslims were shocked about the reception and really the solidarity that they found with non-Muslims, they're also a little bit insulated. They're not hanging out with enough non-Muslims, because I already knew that, right? but there's a fear. And so sometimes Muslims will go to their workplace or their school, or they'll shop, but then they will socialize with other Muslims because they feel they won't be judged, they won't be questioned, they won't be discriminated. They won't have to constantly explain themselves. It's just surround yourselves by like-minded people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been a long time that, you know, that's just not going to work.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's great. We're all going to associate with people that speak our common language and that, you know, have our common interests. That's fine. But we also need to really reach out.
Right. And how are we doing that? Or how, and how can communities do that now in this time and in this space that we have?
Well, you know, first of all, the easiest way is just to, if you work with someone who's Muslim,
mm-hmm.
then if you're afraid to ask them questions, if you've worked with them for a while and you've never asked them, like, what holidays do you celebrate, or, you know, just ask some of these difficult questions. And I know sometimes we poke fun at some of the questions, and really it's in good humor, but there's no stupid questions.
Right.
Especially because I wear the hijab, the headscarf, and some Muslim women who wear the scarf, we are the first to have to defend and speak about our faith.
Sure.
Because we're recognizable as Muslims. And sometimes we get questions such as, do you shower in that? And you heard some Sister Rula Tabata say yesterday that she gets that question. It's a pretty common question.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean that it's a stupid question, right? It just shows you that there are questions that probably could easily be understood if you interacted more often with other Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know someone and they're Muslim, just ask, you know. Ask them those questions that you may be too afraid to ask.
Right.
But it's okay.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we may say, seriously, But then, you know, it's like, okay, well, it's a serious question. So come on, we have to answer. And then you get past it. And that's good. You know, that's good. But then there's also other opportunities like this Islam 101 class to take a workshop or to come into a classroom, for example, only if we're invited. Mm-hmm. We don't call universities and say, hey, we want to teach Islam. If we are invited, for example, if there's a theology class or a world religions class, then we come in and, you know, we're happy to share our knowledge or our experience of living as Muslims. So that's another way you could reach out. You could just visit a mosque, and you just don't have to visit a mosque. We've had people who come to visit our mosque, school field trips even, from private schools, and then they'll also visit a synagogue, because these are experiences that they're not used to. So we encourage people to do that as well, not just to visit mosques, but to visit, you know, other houses of worship that they're not used to. Remember, Islamophobia is xenophobia.
Right.
Someone who will be afraid of a Muslim is also afraid of people that look different from them, that worship different from them. They may not know the difference between a Sikh and a Hindu and a Buddhist. Mm-hmm. So we encourage, you know, to reach out. And there's other ways that the Muslim community is trying to really alleviate some of the pressure and the stress on the immigrant community. So one way we're doing that is learning more about the sanctuary movement, a faith-based sanctuary movement. And there are local churches and synagogues and other houses of worship that have already been part of this movement. And as Muslims, we don't have the physical space to provide physical sanctuary in our mosques, but there's other ways to be in solidarity and also to provide in-kind services, etc. So we're learning more about that. And also, I'm part of a refugee collaborative that Catholic Charities of New Orleans started. There's other nonprofits involved as well, and they just received a technical grant from Welcoming America on how to get us to work together and really get the word out of what is already being done or what needs to be done in terms of supporting refugees with services, for example. So we established our mosque. Abu Bakr established an after-school tutoring program twice a week on Wednesdays and Saturdays. And we have a couple of families that have been coming. We launched that almost immediately, maybe a couple of months after we heard of the need, through our relationships with Catholic Charities, who brings in the refugees, not just from Syria. They've been bringing refugees for decades. Mm-hmm. And also not just from Muslim countries. They do bring refugees from Iraq, but they have brought the refugees from Vietnam many, many years ago. So this is something they've been doing for a while. Of course, now with the travel ban, and, you know, there was a lot of questions on what would happen, you know, to further bring in refugee families. But there's definitely so much need, and there's so much misunderstanding of what refugees get when they arrive here and how much assistance they get. And there's so much misinformation about what immigrants get.
Right.
And what undocumented people are entitled to in the system. And it's just, there's really, just in terms of awareness and educating people,
it's all so under wraps. People just look right past it.
And then there are some people that think that, you know, undocumented peoples are entitled to all kinds of welfare. And that's just not true. So, you know, the more we learn and the more we participate in, you know, and understanding how we can help those that are most vulnerable. Mm-hmm. So because I am Muslim and because I am a Latina, the undocumented immigrants, the refugees, are really something that's close to my heart. My parents were immigrants. Mm-hmm. They could have been refugees because they were leaving Cuba after Fidel. But because my mom was born in Spain, she actually came through Europe into the U.S. But I have many cousins who came on the Mariel boat lift. Mm-hmm. So they were clearly refugees.
Right.
You know, and ironically, if you look at that situation, the current mayor of Miami was one of the first mayors in the country to say that he was going to go with the current administration's policies, you know, to the ICE raids and not to be a sanctuary city, the opposite, right? And he himself was a refugee from Cuba. So the irony, it's just the irony.
Yeah. What is the sanctuary city movement in New Orleans looking like right now?
So there's a local church in the greater New Orleans area. If anyone's interested, you know, and they reach out, I have an email address that they could contact. And they have been supporting undocumented workers by accompanying them to ICE visits, for example, and, you know, teaching English classes, providing free legal assistance, and, you know, and other things as well. But what they're doing now is they're reaching out to more houses of worship and different faith communities and trying to get them to understand what have they done, what can we do together. Interestingly, the idea of sanctuary for a lot of people is, including myself, at first I thought it was just the physical sanctuary. Like, if you have a house of worship, for example, a church, mm-hmm. and there's an undocumented person and they're about to be deported or they're very scared to be deported, then if they come into a church and they seek refuge, then ICE, immigration, they can't come in. That's actually not exactly all there is to a sanctuary. And the idea that they can't come in a house of worship is a matter of policy. So mm-hmm. it's a policy that ICE will respect houses of worship and not come in unless they feel that there's a danger to others or a danger to that person. And again, that's also relative. So for a Muslim community, for the Muslim community, for a mosque to provide physical sanctuary, first of all, we don't have the physical space, but there's other cities that have mosques that have expressed interest in being sanctuaries. But what also happens is that just because you're an immigrant, it doesn't mean that you're in solidarity with other immigrants.
Right.
That's also happening. So there are a lot of Latinos who are afraid of Muslims because of the rhetoric that they hear about Muslims being, ooh, scary people. So they may be hesitant to come in a mosque. What we are hesitant to do is that we are more scrutinized and we are more likely to, you know, not be respected in terms of they'll find any excuse to come in a mosque. Mm-hmm. And our community is very vulnerable, so they probably would not put up any kind of resistance. If any official came in, they'd be more than welcome. They wouldn't look at the legalities of why are you coming here. They wouldn't do any of that. They would feel like it's unpatriotic, that their job is to be completely, completely just agree, you know, be very welcoming. And also it's our nature as Muslims to be welcoming. If somebody says they want to come in the mosque, they come in the mosque. You don't ask the reason why, you know. Yeah. You don't ask them, you know, to show you a warrant. This is a house of worship. Anybody can come in and pray.
Right.
So there, for that and other reasons, we can't provide physical sanctuary. But there are churches in our community that are doing that. Mm-hmm. That's why I hesitate to use their names without asking their permission.
Exactly.
Because it makes them vulnerable.
Right.
So it's a matter of policy that ICE doesn't come into churches. Now, does that extend to synagogues and mosques? Well, you would say if it's a house of worship, but I'm not exactly sure what the policy extends to mm-hmm. other houses of worship. We assume it does. But then again, with this new administration, those policies may not be respected or they may be changed. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, there's other ways to be in solidarity. You can provide, for example, like I had mentioned earlier, go with someone to an ICE appointment. Mm-hmm. If you can provide free legal services, if you can, you know, help in kind, you know, maybe if any house of worship is providing physical sanctuary, that you donate food or other things or any services that you can provide in your community. And also really to be in solidarity with other faith-based groups mm-hmm. that are trying to protect the status of New Orleans Sanctuary as its sanctuary city status. And we know Mayor Landrieu has been very supportive of that. He's not going to use city money mm-hmm. to create this deportation force or even to collaborate unless, you know, of course, unless it's situations of, you know, crime and that's different, right? Because mm-hmm. Immigration is a federal problem. So it's a federal policy, immigration. So you don't have to use local resources to go after undocumented people. You don't have to as a matter of law.
Right.
Again, I'm not a lawyer, and that's why I go to these meetings. I still have to understand. But in the greater New Orleans community, for example, in Metairie and Kenner, they're not sanctuary cities. Mm-hmm. First of all, Metairie is unincorporated Jefferson Parish, which is a huge parish. Mm-hmm. And then you have Kenner, which is a city which with about 15% Latinos now. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Latinos in Kenner, but again, it's not a sanctuary city. So you may have Latinos who work in New Orleans and live in Kenner And in New Orleans, it's more favorable for Latinos in general. And realize, again, you may be a documented person.
Mm-hmm.
But if you, quote unquote, look Latino, you may still, you know, be stopped or asked to show ID. And if you don't have ID, then, you know, it could still be in an uncomfortable situation. And we don't know how bad that's going to get. So interesting, you know, on the news, it said that many people are going to have to carry ID just to travel domestically.
Mm.
So can you imagine, you know, what it's like for immigrants to feel like they always have to show...
Always be on edge, always showing ID.
That's right. And, you know, that kind of takes... That's already losing one of our civil liberties. That, you know, is this a police state? I mean, why do we have to show our ID everywhere we are? My parents, when they left Cuba, that's one thing you had to do. You have to have ID at all times and identify yourself wherever you went, if asked by an officer. So it kind of, for people who left countries where there were dictatorships, because I don't want to say Cuba was a communism, but for dictatorships, it kind of, you know, resounds of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those heavy feelings. So we only have a couple more minutes, and I want to ask you a couple of questions about how people can get involved and what they can do to be in solidarity with those Muslim communities that you're speaking of, and learn about Islam 101. And I know you mentioned a little bit earlier about a 5K that you wanted to talk about. So I'm going to give you the floor to answer those questions.
Yes. So one thing that the Muslim community launched a while back, and this is Sister Rana Otala. So she's the chapter lead. And there's a 5K run walk in Baton Rouge. And it's going to be a fundraiser for Deaf Focus. And so MOSIN, the Muslims Understanding and Helping Special Education Needs, is an organization that out of really the Louisiana chapter to kind of help address the needs of families who have children with special education needs in the mosques. But they're also, we're going to develop these teams. We're putting together teams to do the 5K walk, and it's in April. So more information about that is going to be found on the Facebook page, which is NOLA Matters, Islam in the Crescent City. And that's a way to find out how you could be, you know, part of that team. And it's a good way to be in solidarity with Muslims without... It's not a fundraiser for Muslims. It's a fundraiser for Deaf Focus. It's a nonprofit organization. But you can, you know, walk with other Muslims. It's a good time to talk to other people. And we're going to launch a MSA challenge, Muslim Students Association challenge, this week to see which Muslim Student Association in all the colleges in our city will bring the most team members.
Oh, beautiful.
So that's
cool.
Going to be fun. For more information on the Intro to Islam class, our email is intro to Islam NOLA@gmail.com. It's all together. And again, if you go to the NOLA Matters Islam in the Crescent City Facebook page, you know, we will be posting some of these things. So that's two of the things, you know, that are up and coming. And finally, as a result of the No Muslim Ban rally in March, we have an online community, a social media community. There's a Facebook page called No Muslim Ban NOLA. It's a closed group, unfortunately, because we are very vulnerable and we don't want people to feel targeted mm-hmm. by some of the comments that we began to get once our group reached over 3,000 members.
Oh,
so
wow.
We closed it at that point. But we pretty much accept, you know, almost anyone into the group that we feel is not a fake page, for example,
mm-hmm.
right? So if you've identified yourself, then, and you have a real page, you're more than likely going to be accepted on the page. And we post other events and actions, not that just affect the Muslim community, but around the city that are towards advancing social justice and social justice causes.
Beautiful. Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us, Jenny. It was a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Maggie. I appreciate it.